This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat loving friends. Cats and eating is a tricky one that gets us every time. We've covered the food and what is healthy and what isn't, but is your cat eating too much? Is your cat eating not enough? Overweight, underweight? It's very confusing. Dr. Kelly Cairns to the rescue. Dr. Kelly is back with us. She's our favorite vet, and she is going to answer these questions. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall. As always, here with my lovely BFF, Rita Reimers.
How you doing, babe? Hey, Linda. I'm okay, as you know, and if you guys follow us on our social media, the whole reason we're doing this topic was because I had a lot of questions about my Missy Kitty, who was hungry, but losing weight. She had diagnosed thyroid, and we lost her 2 days ago. So I do still want to talk about her, you know, because her situation might pertain to some people listening out there.
Definitely.
Dr. Kelly has the answers, I hope.
Welcome back, Dr. Kelly. Thank you so much. I don't know if we tell you enough how much we appreciate these visits. We always
really
learn something, and we know our listeners do too.
Hey, look, your glasses match my shirt.
Yeah.
We're catified.
I need those. 2024, ladies. It's so great to be back with you. And this is going to be an amazing kitty-filled 2024. I will share with you. It is the year of the dragon. Ooh. And the Vietnamese New Year. They're starting the year of the dragon. That's going to be coming up in February, but I'm still deeming it the year of the cat. The year of the cat.
I like
it. Say that?
Yes.
Definitely. I love that.
Every year is the year of the cat. I like it a lot.
Well, and I love that, you know, more rescues are realizing cats need just as much help as the dogs do, and they're becoming a very popular subject for new product lines and things too, that we're testing some things now.
Let me start with the basics, because we've had clients tell us before, I'm feeding my cat, blah, 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 blah. Is it enough? And backing up, different breeds grow differently, reach maturity differently, size, weight. What is there a metric to look at and say your cat
magic
is this, so
formula.
It should have this?
Formula. Yes, the crystal ball. Well, there are some guidelines we can use when we're asked, trying to answer the question, is my kitty eating enough? And, you know, the first thing, cats, just like people, are individuals. So there are best practices we can apply. And then we have to look at what's working for that specific cat. And really, the biggest thing we're looking at when we're answering the question, is my kitty eating enough, is we're looking at the body weight and the body condition. So body weight, objective pounds, body condition. Do we have enough muscle mass? You know, are we losing muscle mass or muscle quality, or having any muscle atrophy? So there certainly are formulas that we will apply that are average for what an average size cat should be eating to maintain a healthy body weight. Just like people, you know, you might see on something you're eating, it'll say this product or this, you know, Hostess cupcakes is a certain amount of calories. This should be eaten as part of a normal healthy diet of approximately 2000 calories a day.
I have seen that.
But 2000 calories is not for everybody. you know, for my size and my age and my gender, if I ate that much every single day and didn't exercise, that might be a little too much for me. And somebody else, that wouldn't be enough. They're an athlete, they're tall, they're larger. So we do have averages. And when you're working with your veterinarian, they will use a calculator to come up with a formula. But at the end of the day, your veterinarian will say to you, this is about how much of this specific diet you feed your cat you should feed each day. And then we're going to monitor. Is your kitty gaining weight? Is your kitty stable weight? Is your kitty losing weight? And then oftentimes it's helpful to partner with your vet to fine tune or tweak the amount of groceries your kitty's getting to customize it for your cat.
It's hard when you've got multiples, especially the numbers Linda and I have, because we absolutely have to do some free feeding. That makes it more difficult.
You bet. And look, we'll talk about ideal, and then we talk about practical life, right? As a kitty mom for many years, sometimes with many, many cats, I hear you. A lot of times we are free feeding, and then we do have to monitor. And frankly, there are some kitties, you know, I've had them, a big orange, amazingly sweet bean kitty that I would call Fatty Arbuckle because he was constantly at that free food.
Oh my gosh. Dry bowl. That's what I call my peanut butter, Fatty Arbuckle.
So we do what we can do, and then we look to see how, if you're in a multi-cat environment and you are having to free feed dry, we look to see based upon the age, the personality, and any underlying maybe health issues those kitties have, if that's really working. And there are some times where we have to get a little creative, and I'm sure you ladies have had situations where, you know, maybe you've had to pivot to a different strategy for a specific kitty that needs a different type of diet.
Yeah, you did, Linda, for Kismet.
Kismet. Yeah, Kismet has no teeth. And every once in a while, you do catch him sneaking a piece of dry food. I don't know how he's gumming it or what, but it's definitely not a significant part of his diet. He won't eat anything crunchy or, you know, again. So he gets a third wet meal that the other cats don't get, and they don't love it. And we knew that this was going to be a struggle. That's awful to feed this cat while the other cats aren't getting it. But they've all learned. There's a few of them that sit and watch and wait for him to leave the bowl so they can clean up any crumbs he's got. But they've learned that this is Kismet's special thing. You know,
I was doing that with Missy too. She was getting an extra meal that the other cats didn't get, but then Jet Kitten came along and he kept trying to eat it.
Stealing it. Yes. So all right, let's give you some scenarios, Dr. Kelly. One, we have a cat here, Shadow. She was found eating out of trash cans. So some of her food obsession is a trauma-based thing, but she's very small. She looks like maybe a 8-9 month old kitten, and she's probably, I don't know, 6 or 7.
Well,
that's
like my pie, my sweetie pie.
Yes, which I think with Shadow it was nutritional deficiency. But so she's hungry all the time. Do not dare walk away from food and leave it, right? You got to stick it somewhere and hide it. She will eat the house, but she's tiny. I like cats with a little extra on them in case they get sick, and I can't get extra on her. So what, you know, she's eating a ton, but she's not the fat I expected her to be.
She's got a high metabolism then, right, Dr. Kelly? Is that a thing for cats?
Yeah. So when we're looking at a kitty and we're assessing what we call body condition, there are actually some things that folks at home can do to fine tune or kind of what we call semi-quantitate the body condition. So you can do what's called, you can actually feel, we always do this, right? We're feeling our kitties, we're petting them. And what we want is we want to be able to feel just a little bit the ribs, but not have those ribs sticking out. If you can't feel the ribs at all, and as a matter of fact, there's, you know, 2 inches of cush, of squish and cush, you know, then probably that kitty is carrying around a little more weight than might be ideal. And likewise, if the ribs are just, you know, skin and bones and you can see them and they're prominent, then that cat's too thin. We also want to look for a nice little waist or an abdominal tuck where we do have a little bit of a demarcation of going from the ribs to the tummy. Now, when cats get older, they will get what I call that kind of low hanging kind of
I call back. That the slingy dingy. Yep.
The slingy dingy.
I know the correct term is primordial pouch, but yes, I call it the middle-aged spread because we all get that.
But if there's an excessive, you know, swingy dingy, as we'll call it, or pouch, you know, then that probably means they're over conditioned. And ideally, we want a kitty to have what we call a body condition score of about a 3. A 4, they've got some extra padding. A 5 would be really a lot of extra padding. A 2 would be getting too lean, and a 1 is just emaciated. So back to your cat, you know, I think what we can do is look at, even if she's small, assess if she's okay. Maybe she's on the leaner end, but not too skinny, in looking at those when you feel those assessments, right? And if that's normal for her and it's not trending skinnier or down, then yes. I mean, again, there are, just like different people have different metabolisms, cats can have different metabolisms. Now, what also can be helpful is to look at, as best as you can, to quantitate how many calories you're feeding your cat. And that is actually doable. You know, all bags of cat food, dry, and all cans of wet, will say to you how many calories are in a can or in a measuring cup. So you can get a pretty good napkin map. Even if you do feed some appropriate treats, they have calories on there too, to be able to say, wow, you know what? She seems like she's eating a ton, but when I look at her weight as stable and not dropping, and when I look at how many calories she's actually getting, maybe it's the high end of, when you talk to your vet, that kind of napkin math formula of what's average, maybe it's high end, but it's still within the bell curve. And then you say, that's normal for this kitty.
That's what I think, you know, and I do that once a month. I try to get my hands on each cat and go through a fully, you know, they just think I'm petting them and loving them.
No, you said the word treat. You
see? Hi, Galway. So I'm being stared at because I said the word treat. But yeah, her ribs, I can feel them, but they're not sticking out. So I guess she's a healthy weight. I guess I'm just used to big cats, and it's like, you're too little.
It's harder. Like, it's harder with the fluffy ones too. Like Sweetie Pie, she's a little cat. Your cat, but she's really fluffy. So it's hard to get in there and get an assessment of how she is. She feels okay, but if you just look at her, she looks fat because of the fluff.
That is a very good point. My Karma, before I put her down, she's Maine Coon, and she looked okay to me. And then one day I got my hands on her. She was a former feral, so you didn't get to pick her up much, but she was getting sick. And I was like, she's so light. I like flipped out. I didn't realize, because of all that fluff and fur. Yeah,
that's what happened with me and Missy. And when she first started losing the weight, till I picked her up, I didn't notice she had thyroid issues. And I know we've talked about this. She was hungry all the time, but she just wouldn't eat. Even when we got her on the methimazole, she would eat a little bit, but then she would be under my feet in the kitchen. Like, she's hungry, but I just couldn't get her to eat enough. Why was that happening?
Well, and this is the question of the ages. So let's try to unpack something that I don't have magic crystal ball for, sure, right? And sometimes kitties can be weird, but I do think there are some reasons why that could have been happening. So in general, if a kitty has an excessive function thyroid, they will tend to be starving and actually eat the food, right?
Yeah, I've had those.
Right. When kitties tend to be sick for a lot of other reasons, they would then, law of average, stereotypically, not maybe be nauseous or not feel well in the tummy, and then just act like they don't want to eat. So with what was happening with your kitty is kind of a little bit outside the law of averages, where she was seeming starving, but then you put the food in front of her, any food, and she didn't want to eat it. So I think there's a few things that could have been going on. And some of this might be maybe a little anthropomorphizing what happens in humans to animals. I'm speculating, but you know, I think we need to consider it. I know we've all been sick. I've been sick in cases where I do feel really hungry, you know, but maybe I've lost my sense of taste and smell. I'm starving. And then I go to start eating and it doesn't really kind of scratch that itch, so to speak. And I kind of put it down and walk away, but I'm still hungry. So not submitting to you that I know with certainty that kitties lose the taste of smell and that lose their sensation of taste and their sense of smell the way people do. I don't know that we can directly transcribe that, but I do think it's logical to say that you may have a kitty that's not reading the rule book, that maybe does have some tummy upset or doesn't feel quite right, but they still know they're hungry. And then when they start to eat, they get unsettled in the tummy. Right.
Yeah, because she would eat 2 or 3 bites, unless it was a piece of cheese. Now, she would eat that whole piece of cheese.
But see, haven't you had moments where you've been a little not, you've been starving, and then somebody says, oh, do you want soup? Mm-hmm. And you think about it and go, nope.
Yeah. When I have COVID.
Do you want toast? Yeah. Nope. You know, until, and then they say, oh, do you want blah, blah? And you're like, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, my stomach didn't react to that. So maybe she's starving and you put it down and then she tastes it and is like, nope. And but she's still starving.
Let me add too, just, and maybe not applicable to your kitty, but just in general, I really want pet parents to know all the things. So they're, you know, knowledge is power. There are also a lot of times when a kitty might be really hungry, but they have what we call a pseudo anorexia. And what that means is that they're really hungry, but they don't eat because there's something physical that's causing them pain or discomfort or inability to eat, usually related to a problem in the mouth.
Yeah,
or
I've seen that too.
Right? So again, definitely, maybe not applicable for your kitty, but no, it's super important because what pet parents should be having their vet, and vets will do this. They will do a full physical exam and pay really close attention to the oral cavity. It's another reason why we want to be proactive with that dental care.
Right.
Kitty might have resorptive lesions or problems with the gums. They might have a tooth that's very painful or a mass growing inside the mouth. And your vet's going to evaluate for that to try to figure out if that's what's causing the issue.
Especially if you see a lot of drooling that's not normal, that's a good indicator that there's some thing going on in their mouth and there's some pain involved. That's why they don't want to eat.
We took in a sanctuary cat, Zuki, and he would take a bite and then he would throw his head back like he was throwing it back. And so, yeah, immediate vet and teeth problems.
He had to have some teeth pulled, yeah.
He got them pulled and all of a sudden Rita said he lives at the food bowl now.
He does.
He was trying to
make up
for
lost
time.
But he still won't eat wet food. He'll only eat dry. And I have two cats that will only eat dry and it worries me.
That's a good question. I actually wanted to ask that. Thank you. So
actually, before you answer, let's take a quick break. Okay. I know those sponsors, but we love them. We'll be right back with Dr. Kelly.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back to 19 Cats and Counting. We're talking about cats and appetite. Cats that eat too much, cats that eat too little. How much is too much? How much is too little? And we last were talking about, what were we talking about, Linda?
So we personally, not bats, push wet food. We think it's very important to have wet food. We know that cats are desert animals. They don't drink enough, yada, yada. And especially boys, they've got shorter plumbing. They'll get more prone to crystals, blah, blah, blah. But we hear it a lot. And Rita's had a few of these. I have not. That a cat will not eat wet food.
I have two
now. Is that something that should concern us and we should address? And if so, how?
Actually, three, because Larry won't eat it either. But anyway, go ahead.
So no, it is perfectly fine for a cat to eat all dry food in most instances. I do agree that wet food is often preferable for the relative level of moisture, as well as decreased amount of carbohydrate and often a little bit higher protein that can be metabolically beneficial to cats to not only maintain a healthy weight and not get overweight, but also to lessen the chance in a predisposed cat that they may develop diabetes, because cats have some different metabolism than dogs. They're a desert species and they are biologically adapted to a different type of diet and even in how their body processes nutrients. However, it is absolutely fine for kitties to eat dry food. And in most cases, there's no distinct advantage that you would confer for a kitty to eat wet versus dry. This is why, again, related to how old is your cat, do they have any underlying health conditions, your vet will be able to tell you what type of food they recommend, not just dry versus wet, but what's specifically in the makeup of that food, be it dry or be it wet. What becomes really important is whether you're feeding dry, wet, or a combination, that you are feeding, again, not too much. And that is where sometimes we can see with dry food, especially because you're not cracking a can that's got a definitive amount in it. But a lot of times, even if you're not free feeding with a feeder, you might be pouring into a bowl and you're topping off the bowl of dry food every time it runs down. So if you're able, in say a single cat household, because again, when there's multiple cats, it can be hard to know who's eating what, it is helpful to measure a specific amount of dry food based upon the amount your vet has said is the right amount of calories to start out with your cat. And because of less moisture in the dry food, I think it's another reason why you want to make sure that you have lots of fresh available water sources, because an average healthy cat that doesn't have any sort of underlying condition where they need to drink more will still maintain what they need with that dry food diet through the water you provide for them.
How much water should they be drinking per day?
That's a great question.
Is that a quantifiable amount?
Yeah. So there is a number and a formula that your vet, based upon how big they are, kind of like the calorie situation for their weight. There's a similar situation related to their weight. You know, the bigger, you probably heard like of how many 8-ounce measuring cups of water you should drink per day based upon how much you weigh as a person, right? Same thing with cats. So you can talk to your veterinarian and they can give you, here's the average amount of water your cat should be drinking. So, you know, again, usually they have plenty of free choice water around, but this is also really important when we look at conditions in cats, which we can talk about one, on another monthly podcast, that do cause increased thirst and urination. Because a lot of times folks say, I think my cat is drinking too much. And we use those formulas to try to quantitate how much your kitty's actually drinking for us to tell you if their thirst is actually excessive when we're trying to evaluate for certain types of diseases like diabetes or kidney disease.
You talked about metabolism. So sorry, Rita, I'm going to call her out. Although I've got some big babies too, but Rita's got a couple of cats. I call Gigi the manatee because she just is huge. And they're not hogs. They're not the first ones rushing. They're not pigs. Maybe they're a little too sedentary. They're getting older, but it's like, you know, she said so many times, I don't get it. And the vet has ruled out there's no medical issues caused.
Yeah, peanut butter specifically. You know, there's nothing wrong with him. And I don't see him eating a lot, but he must be because he's big.
So, and this is commonly encountered. You know, my kitty is really overweight. And I swear my kitty does not eat that much. So the first thing I always recommend in situations like this is to actually do a caloric intake analysis, which again, I understand if a kitty is fed with many other kitties and you don't know, it can be hard to do that. I would say in those cases, my almost uniform experience is that they're probably actually eating too much.
Here's and you the just manatee. This is
I can't really see very well, but yes, she's the sweetest, but she's just huge. But
she's
you know, that's what Rita said. She said, maybe while I'm sleeping, maybe he's a midnight grazer or she's a midnight grazer. We don't really know, but yeah.
That was her. That wasn't peanut.
That was Gigi.
I mean, I will tell you, ladies, though, I know from my own experience with lots of cats, but I'm actually dealing with this right now with Oshi Karens, my amazingly sweet 12-year-old gigantic orange buddy. And he's a single cat in the house right now, unfortunately for me, because I've had some older ones pass away. And so I know exactly what he's eating. And I will tell you that he requires almost no calories to maintain weight. And it's really hard for me to get him to lose weight. So here's kind of the kitty owner, pet parent toolkit. You need to kind of understand how much calories they're taking in to figure out maybe they're really still getting more calories than they need metabolically. But there are some things your vet will want to do to just make sure there's no underlying health conditions.
This is peanut, by the way. Well, the big green thing there, that's peanut
butter. Yeah. I mean, there are a couple metabolic conditions kitties can get where they can develop a low metabolism and fail to lose weight. Those are much less common than dogs. Like in dogs, hypothyroidism, and in people, very common. That condition is really uncommon in cats. Usually they get hyper or high functioning.
I'm so jealous.
I know, right?
Let's call a spade though, right? The average middle-aged to older kitty is going to have a slow metabolism. And if they're the average indoor kitty, they are very sedentary. Yeah, they don't get a lot of exercise, right? And that can lead to obesity despite them not eating very much. I will tell you, my kitty is eating, and this is for targeted weight loss. I've calculated he's literally eating 1/2 cup, measuring cup, of the dry food he gets. And he's getting 1 tablespoon of wet food a day. And that seems like nothing, right?
I was going to say, if you were a client and tell me you're feeding your cat that, I'd be like, wait a minute.
No,
Does he seem hungry, though? Is he satisfied with that?
He does want to eat more. He is not losing weight. He's got enough calories for him. And when you look at the math on that, he's getting a couple hundred calories a day. So here's where, again, I'm not making a recommendation for any one specific cat. You need to talk to your veterinarian and have them give you a recommendation. But the average 8-pound to 9-pound cat who's middle-aged with no health problems and doesn't do a lot of activity probably needs no more than 300 calories a day.
Sounds like I might be overfeeding even the wet food. They each get like a third to a half a can twice a day. And then I have the free food out, you know, the little cans.
Yes. So this is where, again, if you have a kitty that you say, boy, this kitty's really overweight, and I don't think this kitty's eating too much, kind of do a little bit of math, and your vet will just adore you when you can say to them, hey, can you do a physical? Can you give me a recommendation? Make an evaluation. Is there a test we should do right now to evaluate this? But you also are able to come equipped with, this is what I'm feeding, how I'm feeding it, and the rough napkin math on those calories. That'll be really important for your vet, and then they'll kind of let you know what to do. I don't want anyone thinking they should just randomly cut calories in half. Always partner with your veterinarian.
Definitely.
You know, in terms of what I'm doing with my cat is calculated and has been a part of a gradual weight loss plan. So I'm not recommending anyone go and only feed their cat a half a cup of food. I'm just sharing with you.
I had a Petsa client cut down her cat's food because she wanted them to not eat dry anymore and she wanted them to lose weight. And then she said, how come my cats aren't pooping anymore? I said, well, because you're not feeding them enough. They have nothing to poop out. And so she went to her bed and put them on the right amount of food.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say that could be a good metric. So
she just arbitrarily decided on her own she was going to give them each a half a can of Fancy Feast a day, and that's it.
The biggest thing, and you guys know, I always beat this drum, but really it is the best thing to do. We're here. Your vet is here for you. They're going to want, for this topic, like every other topic, to have a conversation. Look at the body condition, show you how to palpate or feel those ribs and the tummy tuck, make an assessment, weigh your kitty, you know, and then make a recommendation for you. And then you partner, if you need to have your kitty lose weight, you partner with your vet in a tailored weight loss plan. And remember too, you can weigh your cat at home. No, they may not want to hold still on your scale, but you know, I do this with my own cat. I get on it, I weigh myself. Then I tear the scale, I get on with my cat and I hold him.
Yeah,
and then do a little subtraction.
Exactly.
I could afford to have a chip feeder for every single cat I have, I would.
Oh, I know, right? But, yeah, 18 you know, chip
I
feeders.
I need 18 chip feeders.
Well, and some of my cats will...
Chip feeder manufacturer.
Right? Hello? We need a bunch of them. Some of my cats will just eat until the cows come home, but most of my cats are really good at kind of self-regulating themselves. Like, this cat will clean the bowl. This cat will walk away. Yeah. This cat will walk away after they've gotten their fill, even if there's some left, and then usually that other cat will finish it up. But what if my cat is stopping and is losing weight? This cat's being really picky. It's not really liking this stuff and we're losing weight. What do I need to do? Should I be concerned?
Yeah, well, I think that's a situation where, again, start with that conversation with your veterinarian, because, you know, they're going to want to make sure they do some very simple things to rule out any obvious underlying health condition. You know, with some simple blood and urine tests, they may recommend doing some imaging or, you know, looking internally, but just make sure we're not missing something that changes an action plan. And then once your vet gives you that green light, you know, to say, whew, okay, we, you know, no worries. You know, then it may be that you do have a cat that is finicky or picky. You know, cats are discriminate eaters. Some cats can be more picky than others. I did have a cat that would just periodically lose interest in what we were feeding. And like, trust me, there was nothing medically happening there. I mean, you could bet your bippy, right? I did the full workup. And, you know, that kitty, you know, sometimes we say, oh boy, you know, you need to never change their diet because changing an animal's diet can result in, you know, tummy upset if you make a rapid change. But boy, you know, I don't know. We don't eat the same thing. Again, talk right to your veterinarian, get that green light. But for some cats, it may be that you do need to cycle through and maybe they enjoy a variety of foods for when they're just getting bored of that one.
Yeah, I do. I vary the flavors because otherwise there's something that there's a term for that. And I read it. I can't remember what it's called.
Kind of the boredom. I know we're running short, but I have one more question I have to get in. So I do not feed my cats table scraps because I like to season everything and this and that. And there's 11 of them, yada, yada. But if I was feeding my cats a little bit, safe foods, of course, if I'm feeding them table scraps, every time I eat, they get a little bit and I'm giving them treats. I've got treat balls out and yada, yada. Is there a point where a cat is going to get full enough off those table scraps and snacks that it doesn't want to eat the right food like people do?
So again, some of this is really cat based, right? Cat personality based. There are some kitties where if you feed, you know, look, here's the, with table scraps and treats and things like this, as long as we know it's stuff that, you know, is not going to be toxic to them or really unhealthy for them, generally it's okay to give a little bit of treats. We tend to say like no more than 10 to 15% their total caloric intake, and make sure that the cat food that you're giving them, that you're modifying the amount so that you're not doing what I call over grossriosis, right? Or you're giving them way too much because of those treats. Some cats are going to be pretty bomb proof where they're never going to reject their food because they know they're also getting treats. Other cats, you're going to be in big trouble because now they are probably because of their personality going to not want to eat their food because they're holding off for the treat that you do get them.
The good stuff.
And, you know, I will give, you know, again, I know a lot of our friends also may have dogs in the family. I'll just share an example of my dog, Winston. If he gets a treat, if he gets a jerky or he gets any sort of wet food, he will starve himself for 3 days with his dry food.
Wow.
He is so stubborn. So I think you have to kind of know your cat and you have to make sure, again, first and foremost, you're not feeding too many treats, that they're getting too many calories on top of their regular food. Make sure, right? Because that's not good. And then you have to kind of play it by ear with the behavior and the pattern you're in with your cat.
Well, and that makes sense. I didn't think about like accounting for that. You know, Rita and I met because we worked for Richard Simmons. So calories should be kind of ingrained in us. Yeah. But yeah, when you're filling out your food journal, you don't just include breakfast, lunch, and supper, right? You include those snacks. And I think that was a big lesson for me in my weight loss journey was all the little tastes while I was cooking and that those things actually do have calories.
Hey, by the way, visit my website, thedietscribe.com.
Yes, Diet Scribe. She's back on it.
Sharing my weight loss journey. And we're probably going to be starting a new podcast about that. But
yes,
to the cat.
Yeah. So
real quick, let me share what you're talking about. When we talk about changing up the diet, a lot of folks will call it like a food rotation diet or a mixed feeding plan. And there are some really good resources, you know, out there on the internet. You always have to look at the source and just make sure, you know, look at the backing of that source. But again, as long as you've talked to your vet and you make sure you're not missing anything medically and there's no underlying health conditions, we're doing that would be not a great thing. There's a lot of ways that you can do that safely for those cats that, you know, maybe respond to that.
That's a good idea.
I hate that we have to go because we could probably, I have a million questions and we could probably do a whole nother podcast just about this, about food and the types of food. And I guess we should do one about
Maybe.
Yes. I'd love to talk about raw and all the other diet options out there, but we'll have to do that another time. Darn it all. So did you have any words of wisdom you want to leave us with, Dr. Kelly?
You know, I always love to leave our kitty loving friends with some final thoughts of an actionable toolkit. And truly, when I think about proactive wellness care for your amazing, beloved kitty family member. It is really, there's, you know, four, five pillars really of things. So it's, of course, a good physical exam and conversation with your vet. And then so those basic tests that we do, those blood, urine, and fecal tests to make sure that there's nothing below the surface and we can catch anything that might be brewing quickly. And of course, those vaccines, right, to prevent the preventable for things we do have. But the fourth and the fifth, which are not less important, I'm just leaving them last because that's the topic we're talking about today, is looking at physical wellness and body condition and tied to nutrition. Those are the fourth and fifth pillars of wellness. So if you're not already talking to your vet about this, have that conversation next time you go see them so you can look at what's happening, look at what you're doing, and be proactive with that. So I'm grateful as always to you guys for the time to talk about cats and appetite, because it does give a really rich fodder for discussion about what kitty families can do to be proactive for those cats they love so much.
I love it. You have so much great information for us. Thank you so much for being here and being on this podcast. I have to dedicate to Missy Moo, who inspired this topic, but we lost her 2 days ago. We did our best, right? She had 20 good years. I have to be thankful I had her for 5 of those years. Now she's back with her human mom over the Rainbow Bridge somewhere and her brother Scooter. Now I'm going to cry. Oh, Linda, thank you as always for being my ride or die, and Mark Winter for giving us this awesome platform for our podcast. Just remember, every day is Cat Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.